Hey, listeners, welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. Today we are talking about vaginal breech birth, which is a super exciting topic for me. Before I give you your sneak peek, I want to talk to all the birth workers in the St. Louis, Missouri area. If you are listening to this from January to early June of 2023, there is a Breech Without Borders conference coming to the St. Louis area. There is a link in the description below for that. Now, here's your sneak peek, so stick around.
We're doing it because we believe that 4% of women are going to end up with a baby that is not in a cephalic or head down presentation at the time of labor. And in most of the world now, and certainly in the U.S., most of those women have no option but a C-section, and that's unnecessary.
Hi, I'm Rachel Manns, owner of the Natural Birth Site, and this podcast, The Natural Birth Talk. Here, you'll learn all about different natural aspects of birth, pregnancy, and postpartum. Remember, none of this information should take the place of a care provider and is not medical advice. Birth is not a medical emergency. Thanks for listening. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. Today, I am here with Dr. David Hayes, and we are talking about vaginal breech birth. But before I get started, I want to let him introduce himself.
Well, thank you, Rachel. Your persistence has paid off, and I'm happy to be here. My name is David Hayes. I'm an obstetrician and have been now since 2019, the clinical director for Breech Without Borders. Our goal in life is to attempt to bring back the training, teaching, and implementation of vaginal breech birth.
Which I think is so awesome. I was really blessed and I got to take your training in 2022. And even though I'm a doula and not a midwife, I still just found it fascinating. I absolutely loved it. So you said you've been working with Breech Without Borders for what, about four or five years now?
Well, since August of 2019. So,
okay.
Three and a half. Yeah, that's how long it's existed, actually.
Okay. And so how long have you been an OB?
Oh, since 2000-ish.
Hey, yeah. So we're at over 20 years. So you've been doing this for a while.
Doing it for a while.
Now your goal, though, is to, like you said, retrain and reteach that vaginal breech birth skills within providers, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
And why are you doing that?
Well, we're doing it because we believe that, 4% of women are going to end up with a baby that is not in a cephalic or head down presentation at the time of labor. And in most of the world now, and certainly in the U.S., most of those women have no option but a C-section, and that's unnecessary. And it certainly increases dramatically the risks to the mother. And it you can talk about little bits of, whether it's a little safer to have a C-section for the baby. But there is a massive and dramatic difference in how safe it is for the mom, who has to go undergo a surgical delivery, and it's also not very safe for the mom during future pregnancies or future babies. So, yeah, I mean, you cannot ethically only counsel a woman on the benefits to one baby in one pregnancy of a C-section and ignore the increased risk to her in that birth and all others in the future and all of her future children. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking at the bigger picture.
Looking at the whole picture, absolutely.
The whole picture, whereas I think, like you said, so many of us are only, we have like tunnel vision on that one part of vaginal breech birth where it, we can't just look at the baby, like you said, but so many of us are just looking at that one little piece.
You have to consider the impact on the woman's entire reproductive life.
Absolutely. I totally agree. most of the world, unfortunately, like you've said, has lost that skill for vaginal breech birth. They don't know the maneuvers. They don't know the steps to take or the things to look for. And you're trying to change that.
Correct.
And I think you're doing a great job so far.
Well, we have gone from, I mean, in 20, we did, the first one we did was actually in 2018. But we started doing it basically full time in the middle of 2019. And back then, even not that long ago, but it seems like forever ago. I mean, we were really perfectly happy to get, you know, 12 or 15, maybe two or three midwives and a few doulas and a couple of birth keepers and a few disgruntled moms. And, you know, that was a good audience for us.
Yeah.
In the past year, we have, I mean, we still do a ton of workshops for midwives and doulas and other birth workers, but we've trained five major academic medical centers, all of their residents, all of their obstetricians, all of their midwives, all of their fellows.
That's amazing.
Past year, and we're now, we've gone from knocking on doors and being turned away to people reaching out to us and asking us to come in and train their hospital. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Faster than I ever dreamed it would have.
Yeah, so. Which is why it was so hard for me to pin you down for this. Totally understandable. So a long time ago, vaginal breech birth was just a variation of normal.
Sure.
Like, it was just something that, oh, baby's breached. Now we're looking for these other signs. What happened in a nutshell?
What happened in a nutshell? Well, I'm not sure you can put it in a nutshell. A lot of people will say the term breech trial happened.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And that's what you were, I know that's what you were going for. The term breech trial was a study that came out in late 2000, early 2001. I was actually in residency at the time it came out. And what the term breech trial showed was that it was massively, like on the order of times four or five, higher risk of perinatal death from a vaginal breech birth rather than a cesarean breech birth. Unfortunately, that was completely wrong. And there were lots of flaws with the study. And when they went back and analyzed the same data at 2 years from the birth, there was, in fact, no difference between outcomes between the C-section group and the vaginal delivery group. And there were a lot of other procedural problems with the study anyway. But it remains an extreme outlier if you look at all the research into vaginal breech birth. But this idea that that is what stopped vaginal breech birth from happening it's mistaken.
It was probably what happened was this study, and I put that in quotes because of all the flaws, but was the result of people already being fearful.
Exactly.
A vaginal breech birth.
Exactly what it was. That is exactly what it was. Obstetrics has a long history of designing studies whose intent is to support what they already want to do.
Yes.
Rather than to determine what the best thing to do is.
I'm not sure obstetrics is the only field that does that.
I'm sure that they're not, but I think they're one of the worst offenders.
Yeah. I can definitely agree with that, at least as far as my perspective goes. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of stemmed from this fear. Any thoughts on where that fear stemmed from? Probably just the lack of training, right?
Mostly the lack of training, the lack of experience. I mean, when you go through residency, one of the things that residency programs have to work hard on is making sure that they have 4 years to teach their residents how to do everything that an obstetrician and gynecologist does. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of stuff. And they often don't get exposed to the kind of, they simply don't get exposed to enough breaches to learn what to do with them.
Yeah.
And it became a waning and dying art. There weren't many programs. When the term breech trial came out, 80% of the programs in the country had already stopped teaching breech birth.
Yeah. So, which is a big part of the problem, because to make vaginal breech birth safe, you have to have the training on how to do it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So if a listener out there is considering a vaginal breech birth, they really need to make sure they're finding someone who actually has proper training and experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. The worst thing you can do is, I see this all the time online in groups, and it absolutely drives me bonkers. But the worst thing you can do is wait till you're in advanced labor and then show up at a hospital and demand that they try to deliver your baby vaginally, because you're just, if they don't know how to do it, they don't know how to do it.
Right. And then if you show up so late in labor, they're panicking now.
They're panicking. It's becoming an emergent situation. Mm-hmm. And again, if they don't know what to do, whatever they do is probably going to be wrong.
Yeah, so true. So I'm in the St. Louis, Missouri area, and we're really lucky over here. You just came in June or July of 2022. I can't remember. And trained a lot of our home birth midwives. A lot of them were able to be there. And we actually do have two or three OBs who will attend a breech vaginal birth under certain circumstances, which is pretty rare, but thanks to you is becoming less rare.
We're hoping so.
Yeah.
I mean, translating training into practice is another step in the path, but
absolutely
seeing it happening some places.
Well, and just like it takes so long for new evidence to be used, it doesn't take as long for new training to be used, but it takes time. Yep. It's a process. So if a mom finds out her baby's breech at term or close to term, obviously she has some options. There's lots of different movements and things she can try to turn baby head down, right? Which I think is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And if those don't work, then almost all moms are offered an external cephalic version.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an option.
It is an option.
I'll let you tell us what studies have shown about the external cephalic versions.
Well, if you have no other option, it's a reasonable thing to do. Mm-hmm. There's not a tremendous amount of morbidity associated with it. It's fairly small. I mean, when I was trained,
just to clarify, morbidity is like a potential negative outcome, not mortality. I think some people get those words confused.
Morbidity is a negative outcome, not necessarily death, but a negative outcome. Mortality would be death. Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. There is some morbidity associated with doing the procedure. There are some babies that actually do have to be rushed off to an emergent C-section because there was some problem with the placenta during the attempted ECV. The baby.
I had a client where that happened, actually.
Yeah. So, and this we could get pretty esoteric with this conversation, but when I was trained to do external cephalic versions, we just, you just put someone on the table and you monitor the baby's heart rate and you just do it. And these days there's been a movement to, you have to go into the hospital and you have to have an IV and you have to have an epidural placed. Mm-hmm. And you have to use uterine relaxant drugs in order to. And I don't think there's consistently good evidence that any of those interventions improve the outcomes of ECV or improve the likelihood of a successful ECV. I feel like in a lot of situations, they're just a setup for going straight to the operating room because if you're already anesthetized, why not go?
But
most people can do an ECV and get through it without any major morbidity associated with it. And again, if it's the only option you got, then that's probably the best option you've got. But for women that have access to an experienced breech provider, having an ECV does not improve their chances of having a successful vaginal birth. And in fact, it's a slightly less chance of a successful vaginal birth.
Yes.
And even in the situation where there's a successful vaginal birth following it, you're still putting the person at the risk of an additional procedure.
Right.
That wouldn't
one extra intervention that could spiral.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's really important for listeners to understand because yes, ECV is an option and usually it's presented as the better option, the better alternative to a vaginal breech birth. And like you said, sometimes it goes great and there's not a problem. But if you're really, really wanting that vaginal birth, then if you do have the option for vaginal breech birth or you have the option for C-section, ECV, you could choose and more likely than not, the vaginal breech birth is more likely to be successful is what I'm
more
trying to say.
More likely to have a successful vaginal birth if you go straight for that. Yes.
I think that's definitely something that people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell my moms to they really just need to trust their instincts. They really need to sit with themselves and think about it and feel within their body what the right choice is, whether that is an ECV or a vaginal breech birth or a cesarean birth. So they really need to sit with that and see what's going to work best for them without all the fear and the everything kind of surrounding them.
Sure, sure. I think from my perspective, or from a policy perspective, my biggest objection to the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology is, you know, promoting ECV as an alternative to C-section. And it's not a very successful alternative to C-section.
Right.
I mean, it is an alternative, but it's not a great. My issue with it is that they are promoting it to the exclusion of there is pressure on them to do something about the fact that women don't have the option for vaginal birth if they're breech. And they are using that as an excuse to not promote the training or the reteaching of breech.
Because it's easier to just tell people to have an ECV. It's a lot harder to totally retrain people.
It absolutely is hard to totally retrain people. It's not as hard as they make it out to be. It turns out, and we're having a fair amount of success doing that. So I think it's quite doable and a lot more doable than they believe. So
absolutely. Before we finish up, is there anything else you want to say? Any tips? Any thoughts? Anything that I didn't cover with my questions?
Boy, that's a huge category of things.
I know. I'm like still going through the training from June or July. So like, this is how much information there is. And I'm telling you to put it in like this tiny space.
Yeah. I mean, vaginal breech birth is a reasonable alternative. The skills are not that difficult to learn. Mm-hmm. Most vaginal breeches will occur on the order of, depending on your population, 60 or 70% of them will occur without any need to intervene at all. But they definitely are more likely to require intervention than cephalic births. And I think people on the other side who really want to breech birth and can't find an appropriate experienced provider, I worry, and I have seen far too many cases of situations where babies were lost because there was not a provider available. It definitely carries with it. It is normal there. It's fine in the hands of with the availability of an experienced provider. I'll put it that way. But it definitely does carry greater risk than a cephalic birth.
Especially if the provider is not experienced.
Absolutely. Yeah. And maybe even worse if the provider is not experienced.
Yes.
It's almost better not to have a provider.
because they may do things that are counterproductive versus letting nature take its course in that manner. Well, and like you said, the
the skills, they are quite simple to learn. They make sense when you think about them. They are very, very low morbidity for everything you're teaching, almost everything you're teaching. I mean, they're very simple and very safe. And just if everybody had these skills, birth would probably be a lot safer.
They can definitely be taught, and they should be taught.
Absolutely. I feel like, I mean, I'm going to open a can of worms with this statement, but I feel like it was such a simple, what was it, several hours of class? Like, that's one day of teaching in medical school.
I mean, it is.
I mean, you have all the textbook work, but the hands-on, you know.
It doesn't make you a breach expert.
True,
but,
yes. Yeah.
But that's the first step. And a lot of what we do is, you know, there's a lot of, we do online supervisions of birth sometimes. We try to make ourselves available for people who want an experienced practitioner. I mean, it's hard to do because we're running around the country or around the world teaching all the time, but we come across those situations quite often. And so we do everything that we can do reasonably possible to assist in that transition. You can take the training more than once. You can, there are lots of options in larger areas with larger populations. You can, you know, designate one center where all the breaches go, and then people can get training doing breaches if they have them coming in the door every 2 hours, right? So there are far rarer procedures in the world of obstetrics that people somehow manage to master while they're in residency. So there's not a really good excuse for not trying to do that with vaginal breech birth.
Yep. The tools are there. The resources, they're there. They just have to be used.
Yep. Just have to avail yourself of them.
Yep. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Good. Me too.
Somewhat coherent.
No, you did great. You did great. Listeners, I am going to put Breech Without Border. I'm going to put their link in the description below. So definitely check that out. And if you guys have any questions, you can reach out to me at contact@thenaturalbirthsite.com. And I'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.